It did. I was a kid in Dayton, Ohio, not far from where Neil Armstrong had actually grown up, in Wapakoneta, Ohio. So at age 11, I was at that impressionable age as a young man, seeing this incredible rocket go up and people walking on the face of the moon. I was so inspired, like everyone else. We all, our heroes, had the names Buzz, Michael, and Neil. You know, we all knew just what they'd accomplished and how exciting the future seemed. I wanted to be part of that. Growing up in Dayton, Ohio, near where the Wright brothers grew up and walking by Orville Wright's house every day, I heard that they all flew as well, and so I became a pilot as a result of that and wanted to be part of the space program. Unfortunately, we stayed in low Earth orbit after that. We didn't really go beyond the moon, and for, you know, the next 50 years, it's, you know, we stayed so close to home. I got into the satellite industry and got me close, but it's just exciting right now to know that people are looking out beyond the moon, you know, the moon and beyond to Mars, and maybe achieving the dreams at 11 I thought we'd be by now.
It's the odd thing that for my generation, the moon landings, it's part of history. I mean, it's closer to the Second World War than it is to now. What I suppose you've seen, actually, you've been working with a generation that didn't have that kind of inspirational moment in terms of space flight, space travel.
It is very different today. NASA, you know, governments were the ones back 50 years ago making these things happen, major investments. It couldn't have been done any other way. Today, it's really commercial companies like Iridium and others who are driving really the return to space. SpaceX, Blue Origin, you know, other rocket companies, many commercial satellite companies providing all kinds of services. It's really almost driven by commercial means, but to go to Mars and beyond, it's going to require even bigger cooperation than we've had, many probably similar in the ways we did 50 years ago.
It feels as though it's perhaps a little different actually persuading investors of this, that there is money to be made in space than in other industries. In many ways, it actually reminds me of investors in sports, where there's optimism and hope and enthusiasm rather than 100% the pure financials. Would you agree with that?
Well, especially for some of these really big ideas in terms of startup today, we're kind of fortunate, or it's unique, I think, in that billionaires seem to like space, and there's a few who are putting their own money and time to push the boundaries of the technology and attributes, whether it be Elon Musk with SpaceX or Jeff Bezos with Amazon or Sir Richard Branson or others who are taking big bets because they believe in the future.
What do you actually make of those kind of projects? Are they serious businessmen, in your opinion?
Oh, I think all are very capable, serious people who aren't doing this just as a charity and are going to make businesses out of it, but they're able to be more patient. The problem with space, because of the tremendous capital required, it requires a lot of patience. So the traditional ways of building a business where you might raise a lot of debt from people and start paying them back quickly doesn't really work very well in space, because the returns take a long time, so you need much more patient capital. Or you need, in our case, you need a lot of time and ability to build the company to a point where it now is returning in excess of the capital required to keep it in space. So it takes time and patience, but there can be great returns as well from space.
What about the industry as a whole? It feels, so the names we were just talking about a moment ago, Zuckerberg, Musk, Larry Page, Eric Schmidt, is commercial space just the domain of rich, older, white men?
Oh, I hope not. I mean, I certainly don't put anything against them because of their race or size of their wallets. But, you know, I give them credit for being visionaries, for seeing the opportunity and for wanting to invest in it for whatever reasons. I believe they're all in it for business reasons beyond just the personal interest and excitement of being into space. There are ways that everyone can be involved, you know, in potential projects. We are seeing a lot of smaller companies formed. Space doesn't lend itself well too small, but there is a trend these days with smaller spacecraft, with lower cost rockets launches, with putting very unique payloads into low Earth orbit to do very singular type things. And we're seeing universities and other kinds of entrepreneurs find niches in space as well. So while those are the big names, you know, that are doing the really, really big projects, there's an awful lot of other things going on in space right now that are happening all over the world.
This isn't a question that's necessarily specific to Iridium, but as you say, these are systems which are vital to the way we live our lives. Is it unnerving to have them in the hands of private companies rather than perhaps more transparent bodies?
You know, I don't know that I would say that commercial versus governmental entities are less safe, particularly these days where we're kind of retreating inward and countries are getting further apart as opposed to closer in some ways. You know, Iridium was really founded in the 90s during a strong globalization phase where we were all reaching out to work together and be part of it. And the idea of a system that covers every part of the planet was a really big global idea. It transcended borders in many ways. Having a system like this that's independent, serving first responders, serving people in need, I think having that in the commercial hands is actually a safe thing, as opposed to picking a specific government or what that may not want to provide service to other governments or other things. And I hope we keep working towards that, unifying the world as opposed to getting further and further apart. I think commercial entities are providing really important functions these days in space.
Finally, looking ahead, what do you see on the horizon here? It's an exciting field. It's something which enthuses people. Where do you see this actually going?
Well, from an Iridium perspective, I mean, it's funny, I feel a bit like that actress that gets the Academy Award and everybody says she's an overnight success story, and she says, I've been at this for 30 years, you just noticed me recently. That's a little bit like Iridium. We just got noticed after all this effort, now that we're successful and growing and really delivering. So I'm really excited with this whole new network and all the things we can do. But, you know, even going back to the launch of Apollo 11 and thinking about going back to the moon or Mars, maybe we should be the communication system for those planets. We know how to do it. And someday if we're going to be back on the moon or Mars, maybe we need to design the network that will allow people to have the same kind of mobility on those planets that they have today. That'd be an exciting future and one that I'd love to be part of. I just hope at my age I can still see that far out in the future. So it'll be fun to think about.